you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that reminds us that you are the great shepherd and we are your sheep. And may we hear your word this morning and follow it as a sheep follow the voice of a shepherd. May we know it to be the way to live our lives. Give us the will to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It should not come as a surprise to you, but we in the Bell Choir have a lot of fun. Sometimes it's kind of amazing that we get any practice done because we're laughing too hard. But one of the members, Arlene Most, she was the former executive director of the Township Library, is a member of the Bell Choir. She's kind of back over there. And every now and then she wears a t-shirt. And I just love it. It says, "Let's eat Grandma. Let's eat Grandma." And then it says, "Commas save lives." Now, today is Reign of Christ Sunday. It used to be Christ the King, but we now call it Reign of Christ to be more inclusive. It's the last day of the church year. Next week we begin the new church year with the beginning of Advent. And as you've heard me say a number of times before, the Reign of Christ Sunday is a day that asks us to focus on some little things. We've heard close to 170 scripture readings this year. You've had the possibility of hearing 55 or so sermons. Hopefully you remember one or two of them. And you've meditated on those readings and others. And today's reading, in essence, asks the question, what do you make of all of it? After all you've heard about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, about living life, what do you believe about it? Or about them? But it's not just about asking that question. Today's reading also challenges us to take responsibility. Are we willing to accept the responsibility that goes with calling Christ our sovereign or Christ our Lord? Both Matthew and Ezekiel ask us to consider, is there any substance to all that we've heard over the past year? Is there anything that we can trust, that we can hold on to? Do we even consider for a moment that God is in the midst of this crazy, mixed-up world and life? Now, Ezekiel believed that God was involved in this crazy, mixed-up life, or as it was back then, moving and acting in the daily lives of people of his time. He believed that, especially in the first part of the reading, that God is the shepherd. I am the shepherd. You, the people, are my sheep. And God loved and cared for God's sheep. But God also, through Ezekiel, has some words for the old goats and secular leaders and religious hierarchy who have butted the sheep around. A sheep with horns, I understand, is a goat. So he mentions that they butted him with their horns. The kings and the leaders had a responsibility of seeing that everyone under their care was taken care of. And Ezekiel's clear that he feels that they have been falling down on the job. They're not carrying out their responsibility. Jesus, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, extends that sense of responsibility to all of God's disciples. It's not just for the kings and religious leaders. It's for all of us. caring for the people is precisely what the followers will be judged on. John E.E. Dalberg, better known as Lord Acton, who lived in 1834 to 1902, once said, "Property is not a sacred right. When a rich person becomes poor, it's a misfortune, it's not a moral evil. When a poor person becomes destitute, it's a moral evil teeming with consequences and injurious to society and morality." The question then, what, not only if we believe, but what we have heard. In other words, what's our contract? What's our responsibility to give here? What is God's part and what's our part? A minister tells of a Sunday that he went out with an elder to deliver, to visit people in the hospital. They rode in the minister's new car, made calls, and were on their way home. And while they were on their way home, he noticed red flashing lights in his rearview mirror. A cop pulled him over for doing 65 in a 55 mile an hour speed zone. And he later wrote about that, "I was fuming. Not only was I a pastor who got a speeding ticket, what would my church say? Not only was an elder present, oh, for the shame of it all, but how could God allow me to get a speeding ticket after I'd gone to visit the sick people in the hospital? Doesn't one good deed deserve another?" Is our responsibility to God to do good things so that we will be properly rewarded? Is God present so that God can be the great dispenser of good conduct medals and blessings? I know there are a lot of people who live believing that. If I do this, then God will do this. And this is what Martin Luther struggled with. I've talked about this before. The belief that by doing good works, we will be saved. And he found out he couldn't do it. It was impossible. And I must say that often the parable from Matthew has been urged to get people to do what needed to be done by laying guilt on them, so that they will go out, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and so forth. No doubt over the centuries, this passage has been used to pile on a lot of guilt. But think about it. If this was a works righteous passage, in other words, that by doing good works we're made right with God, then the people would have known when they did it for Jesus. They would have said, "Well, of course, we knew that when we fed the hungry, we were feeding you. That's why we did it. We knew that when we clothed the naked, we were clothing you. That's why we did it." They wouldn't have been surprised. But they were surprised. "You mean, when we did this, feed the hungry, we were feeding you? Wow." They were surprised. They did not know that they were doing it for Jesus when they did it for the least of God's children. You see, the passage is about grace and responsibility. It's not about guilt. You can throw that away. Forget about the guilt. Matthew is about God's presence in the world with us. And this is the God whose Son shed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And if you've listened to me long enough, you know that I think that statement, that one sentence, is the most powerful sentence in the whole Bible. God is with us. God cares about us. And this is what we've been hearing in all the readings over the past year. We're not alone. God's part of the covenant with us is to be with us. And God does a pretty good job with that. Our part is to be with God. We have a harder time with that. That is what it means to be responsible in our faith. That's how we are with God. We do not do it so that God will be with us, but because we are with God. And it's a very subtle difference, but an important one. We do it because we are with God. In his book, Finding Hope, Roy Fairchild tells of an experience in Austria that I've shared with you before. While he was in Austria, he became ill. And his friends went on, and he had to stay in this small village while he recuperated. And he used the last of his traveling money to take the train to Vienna, hoping to meet up with his friends. But he had no idea where to find him once he got there. And he was standing in the streetcar station in the center of Vienna, lost, tired, broke, and confused. And an old woman approached him. She was, he learned, the person who came in to sweep the station every so often. And she came over to him and asked him, "Are you hungry?" And before he could answer, she took her lunch out of her bag and gave him half of her lunch. Fairchild writes, She not only helped my aching hunger, but she lifted my spirit in an unforgettable way. We talked for more than an hour about her life. It had not been easy. She was raised in the country on a farm, knowing nothing but hard work. She lost her husband and two sons in the resistance. Only her daughter had survived. Finally, I asked her why she had offered me her lunch. And she said simply, "Jesus ist mein Herr, Gott ist gut." Jesus is my Lord, God is good. Fairchild asks, "Who was it, after all, that I met that day in Vienna?" God is with us, and we have a responsibility to respond to that. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The distinction between faith and works is absurd. Making the distinction is like trying to ask which blade of a pair of scissors is more necessary." Here again, we hear the subtle but important difference. We do good works not for God, but because of God. When we truly believe, our work becomes so natural we don't realize that we're doing it. We don't worry about impressing God. Jesus is mein Herr, God is good, so we feed people. We clothe them. We make cleanup buckets for them. So when they're suffering disaster, they know that somebody cares about them, that God is caring about them through us. And that's our responsibility. But like Lewis says, it doesn't have to seem like it, and it does not seem like a responsibility, because we want to do it. We have to do it. We don't know how to live life any other way. Arlene Shirk reminds us that commerce, something I wish I'd really listened to in school, the little things are important. The placement of a comma can make all the difference in the world. The reason we sang the 23rd Psalm, although you don't get it quite as clear as you would if we read it, one writer mentions how often when people say the 23rd Psalm, they miss that comma in the first sentence. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Are we angry with God that God associates with people that we would rather God not associate with? Are we upset that God demands so much of us in terms of attentiveness, finances, and service of responsibility? Or do we read the opening phrase with the comma, realizing the marvelous blessings of God as we say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? The little things make all the difference. And so as you sit down to your Thanksgiving table this week, celebrate with family and friends, I hope you'll not only think of the blessings that God has given you, and there are many, but I also hope you will think about your responsibility to respond to God's blessings through service. Think about it. The blessing, the joy of God working through you to help somebody else. And when you see their face light up, you feel the joy. I've shared with a number of you, when I was growing up, our church would give out baskets every Christmas. And I mean, we gave out a lot of them. I think it was like 40 or 50. And members of the church would deliver a couple. And my father would always sign him and my brother and I up to deliver them. And I went into some pretty bare, sparse houses. And we put the groceries on the kitchen table. And the woman of the house, or whoever was there, and the children too, her face would light up so thankful for what we were doing for them. I got as much out of it as they did. Because that vision is still indelibly printed on my brain of making those deliveries. And so I hope most of all those thoughts that you have of what you have, but also what God can do through you, will bring as much sense of joy as just thinking about what God has given you. Jesus ist mein Herr, Gott ist gut. Amen.